a servant of the Lord. And as we consider a servant, I'll ask you, what does it mean to be a servant? Well, the King James Dictionary would define it as el servan, from serve, to keep or hold properly, one that waits, that is, stops, holds, attends to, or on one that is bound. And then it would say a person, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him. And as he would go on, he would define it and say a servant is different from slave, as a servant's subjection to his master is voluntary and the slave's is not. And so whenever we consider someone that's a servant, we're considering someone that freely serves someone else, freely does something for someone else. Do you consider yourself to be a servant this morning? Do you freely serve God this morning? I know whenever we consider Paul, he would consider himself a slave of Jesus, but he was freely a slave. He freely served Jesus. Who do you think of whenever you think of a servant? One that I didn't really consider up until recently was Job. And that was because God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." And I consider Job this morning because of what Job went through. Here, as the devil had roamed about to and fro, and he come before God, and as God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? The things that Job was about to go through." And as we would read on, it said after Job had gone through all that he had went through, it would say that in all this did not Job curse God with his mouth. And we'll get closer into that in a little bit, but what about Jesus? I want us to consider Jesus in the light of Job just for a moment. You see, Jesus was described as a servant. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 1, God saying here, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." God saying, "Behold my servant, consider my servant." Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, he would say, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. And as we consider Jesus, we consider the example that he left for us. The example of servitude that he had. That he was willing to come and, as he had said, give his life a ransom for many. And as I try to get your attention to focus on what Jesus did, as he came, he gave his life for the ransom of many. But it was that he came to serve and not to be served, even though he was going to go through that. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." I had that verse several times in here. I tried to take it out this morning. I might not have, though. Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And as we just pointed out of Christ, that he was going to come, he was going to serve, he was going to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I bring that up Because whenever we talk about our service with God, someone giving their life to God, trying to be a servant to God, and then as you begin that walk with Christ, something happens, something goes wrong. And then all of a sudden you say, well, you know, I'm not going to serve God anymore because I thought whenever I gave my life to God that things were going to be easier. I thought life was going to be simpler, that my finances were going to fall into place, that people would forget about the things that I once did, that life in general would just be easier. But things haven't gotten any easier. Stumbling blocks and temptations and trials and errors, all these things keep coming. And as those things keep coming, people will begin to fall off. They'll begin to quit following God, quit serving God, because things get a little bit hard. But Christ came down and the example that He left. Things got hard for Jesus. Things got hard for Job. Yet they continued to serve God. They left us an example. Knowing what Jesus was going to go through as He hung upon the cross for us. The things that He would go through. You know, oftentimes we will look in the book at 694, the song, servant song. Joshua lead it sometimes and others as well. Make me a servant. Lord, make me like You. For You are a servant. Make me one too. And it just repeats, Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me a servant. Because You are a servant, I want to be like You, right? Jesus was described as the suffering servant. We won't read all of chapter 53 here in Isaiah, but just seeing some of the things that He went through, the Bible says He was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was oppressed, and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Verse 11, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge, it says, shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. There that word is again, He shall bear the iniquities. Justify many. Christ, despite what He was coming to earth for, despite what He was going to go through, knowing what He was going to go through, still chose to serve. And I know life gets hard for us sometimes. Things happen. People get sick. Sometimes you lose a family member or a friend really close to you and you begin to question God. You begin to fall off track. Why did this happen to me? Why'd You allow this to take place? Well, we begin to question God rather than to continue to serve God. But Christ left us that example that we should follow His steps. As I said, I had it throughout the text here, for even here unto where you call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we would follow His steps. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, as I believe it was said here, we may not suffer right now in this country to the extent that other people suffer around the world for the cause of Christ. We may not be facing being crucified or drugged through the streets or being beheaded like it is in other countries throughout Africa and all the stands over there and places like that. You know, we may not face that type of persecution just yet. But there's forms of persecution that we do face. From the persecution of losing friends because you decide you want to follow God now instead of going out and partying. And then people say, well, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. People calling you names now because it's becoming increasingly more unpopular to be a Christian in our society. Maybe not so much here in the conservative state of Texas, but maybe so also. The pastors in Houston that had to submit all their sermons to see if they're talking about homosexuals or not. Or the Kentucky clerk being placed in jail for not wanting to her name on a document that supports gay marriage. That might be a light form of persecution, but it's not so severe like it is in other places. But Timothy would say, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if we're really living our life for Christ, one day it's bound to happen. We're bound to face some type of persecution. If we're allowing our light to shine, as we should. What are some characteristics of a servant? Now, 2 Timothy really outlines, and it says straight out, the servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. And then he would say, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The servant of the Lord must not strive. I mean, that's all the good characteristics of what a servant is. If you're going to be a servant of the Lord, you must not strive. You must be gentle unto all men. You must be apt to teach. You must be patient. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24 really applies to everyone that will be a servant, that's male or female. Male or female, you need to be apt to teach. You need to strive, not strive, but be gentle unto all men, patient. All good qualities of a servant. Matthew Henry's commentary would say, he must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. This is the way to convey truth in its light and power and to overcome evil with good. As Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, how do we do that? We do that by developing those characteristics of a servant. By being patient, by being gentle. And that's hard to do sometimes. Maybe in the face of persecution. Maybe whenever people are yelling at you and calling you names for your belief. Maybe it's hard to do. But whenever we develop those, we overcome evil with the good. As Jesus did. As Stephen did. As he had said, must not strive. That's quarrel or fight. We shouldn't fight one another. We shouldn't fight others, our neighbors. Sometimes people would get in disagreements over Scripture. And sometimes those disagreements turn into just full-blown fights. Maybe not here. Maybe it hasn't happened here that I know of. But there's some places that it has happened where one person can't agree upon a Scripture and then they're outside in the parking lot fighting over who is right. You know? But if we're truly a servant of the Lord, we're not going to strive like that. We're not going to fight like that. Gentle. He would say, mild, meek, soft, bland, not rough, harsh, or severe, as a gentle nature, temper, or disposition. Be gentle to all men. Be meek to all men, soft, bland. He'd say, apt to teach, that's able to teach. Able to teach the Word of God. Okay, well, we get to talk about teaching the Word of God. We're not just talking about teaching the Word of God from the pulpit. We're talking about going home with your children or grandchildren and teaching them the Word of God. We're talking about talking to your neighbor or friend or someone in your family and being able to teach them the Word of God. It's not just from the pulpit setting. And it doesn't just apply to men. It applies to everyone that is a servant, that calls himself a servant, that have taken on the name of Christ. Patient. Now that's a good one, because I believe patience is one that I need, if you will, one that I need to work on. Having the quality of enduring evils without murmuring or fretfulness, sustaining afflictions of body or mind with fortitude, calmness, or Christian submission to divine will. The quality of patience. In meekness, he would say, that's humble, lowly, modest, meek, submissive, as opposed to proud, haughty, arrogant, or assuming. Being humble. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. If we humble ourselves, we need to be humble. What it doesn't mean to be a servant, being religious. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who were the scribes and the Pharisees? In the very basic, shortest answer that I could give you is the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious leaders of their day. Shortly. Simply. Paul was a Pharisee. So. They didn't believe in Christ. They didn't think that Jesus was the Christ. Not all of them anyway. Nicodemus did. But being religious, some people believe that, well, I'm religious, so therefore I'm a servant of the Lord. I used to have that same attitude before I became a Christian. I thought that I was a Christian then, as far as that went. I thought, well, I'm religious, I believe in God. I thought that was what that meant. I thought being religious meant believing in God. But there's so much more to it than that. I thought, well, a church is something, you don't have to go to church. That's something that's in your heart. Because that's what I've been taught. You don't have to be there on Sunday. You don't have to be baptized, things like that. All these things that I thought. But I thought that I was religious. I was religious. But being religious, simply being religious, doesn't mean that you're a servant of God. And the scribes and the Pharisees are a good example of that. And what Jesus would say about the scribes and the Pharisees, though they were the religious leaders, so to speak, here's what Jesus would say about them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And it'd say, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Ye servants, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So much for them being the leaders, if you will, of the day. Sure, they were religious, but Jesus said, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? You look good on the outside. You've painted it up. You made it look really good outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They had a problem. They had a big problem. Maybe some of us have the same type of problem. We appear righteous on the outside, but inside we're not really that righteous. Maybe we think, oh, I'm religious, I'm good. Well, we have the wrong type of attitude. As Jesus would go on to say, we use this quite a bit, or I do. But maybe it helps me to stay in check, because Jesus would say, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Just doing the will of the Father. Because if we're doing His will, we're serving Him. If we're just hearing it and not doing it, we're not serving Him. We could be religious, but if we have nothing to back that up, if we're not serving Him. Someone says, well, Jason, I've been baptized. I'm good. That might be another problem that we have. You see, if we consider the example that Simon the sorcerer, after having seen the apostles going by and seeing the miracles that they did, and he believed and he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, he would say, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou neither hast part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You see, Simon had lost his way. Simon had believed at what he had saw and heard from the apostles. He was baptized, right? Yet somewhere along the way, his heart fell off track. His heart got in this not right situation. And Peter called him out on it. He said, your heart's not right in the sight of God. You see, simply being baptized doesn't make us good. Not until we take on that form of a servant. Not until we lay down ourselves, our wants and our earthly needs here, and we lay all those down and we follow after Jesus the way that He said that we should. And I myself stand as guilty as probably anyone whenever it comes to that. Daily taking up our cross and following Jesus. Peter would say, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of the things which thou hast spoken come upon me. He wasn't right. And we ourselves can find ourselves in that same boat. What it really means to be a servant this morning. Jesus would say, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he should be as his master and the servant as his Lord. So what did he say? That we should be like him? If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? What it really means to be a servant of God is being like Jesus. Being like him. He left us that example. As Paul would say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we don't necessarily talk about enough, I believe, maybe, is the true cost of discipleship, the true cost of servitude to God. I've always thought that it was easy to sit down with somebody and convince somebody that they should be baptized, that they should follow God as far as that goes and be baptized. And I always thought that it was pretty easy to convince somebody of that. What I've had a harder time doing, though, is explaining to someone the cost of discipleship. Explaining to someone, listen, the road's not going to get any easier. You're going to give your life to God, and guess what? Trials and temptations are still going to come. You're still going to face adversity. You're still going to have problems arise that are beyond your control. It's just something that's going to happen. And so many people, whenever they decide, oh yeah, I'll go down here, I'll go down into the water, I'll be baptized. And they'll be raised up to walk in newness of life, and then they'll go forth from here and won't walk in newness of life. Because they have not been taught the true cost of discipleship. Jesus will say, well, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And that's really the hard part, isn't it? Forsaking the things, those former things, putting off those former things and putting on that new creature. Becoming that new man in Christ. Letting all those things go that you once held on to. Jesus would say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Our service to God is one of a daily walk, a daily sacrifice, forsaking all that we once were, taking up our cross, following Him daily, not just on Sunday, but daily. And so as we close with Matthew chapter 6 today, I want to ask you where your heart is. You see, what it really means to be a servant of the Lord is to put your heart into your service with Him. And the reason why is because where our treasure is, or where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart this morning? Are you a servant of the Lord? Where's your heart? Is it fixed on things of this earth, or is it fixed on things above? The song that we sing, Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you.